place to, you know, to lodge and no place to stay. And the members were just getting together. Well, you, how many in your group? Can you, we can take 15 band, so they, we can just sleep all over the place. And sometimes they'll bring the children with them. We have a good time.
But you, if you, the area where he's talking about is, like Daddy said, it's not as steep as these hills are here, but it's particularly in those days, every bit is remote. But these association meetings, when Mabel gets here, Mabel Martin's coming tonight. She'll be here tomorrow. She's from that southwest corner of Virginia, and they have still have association meetings, and they like it when there's a group that comes down from Michigan. From the Baptist group that's up there.
Northern Michigan.
No, not South.
Yeah. Someone asked one question, but I was wondering, you mentioned it started in the New England area. Do they still have the Primitive Baptist up that way?
Are there some up there?
It started up there, but it quickly moved down to Canterville Valley and moved into the south. And it was more isolated than they had at the time. So that's why they grew. So up there, but all other kind of things did start at one time. So different groups, all groups, could have been able to.
And you see, most other churches are, the Primitive Baptist Church does not have any setup for evangelical work at all. They do not have revivals. They do not have any outreach missionary type thing. Well, as you can see, that sets it apart from all other Baptist Methodist churches. Their feeling is that a person's spiritual life is a very personal thing, and one would never presume to ask or to make any kind of statement about someone else's personal spiritual life. That's theirs. And my grandfather, his father, who was an extremely spiritual person, did not even say anything, and I was very close to him, and he didn't say anything to me about that, except when I first got married, he just said, he brought the Bible there and said, "Now, I think if you two will stick close by this, you'll do okay." You know, and it was just, that was it. It wasn't going to be, you know, he never asked us to go to church with him or anything. And they just don't do that. And there's also no mention of money in the church. There's no collection taken up. There's no mention of the word or anything. If there's something that needs doing, they, you know, the elders, you know, if they need a new roof on the building or something, they do.
In the Primitive Baptist Church, there's a lot of talk about right and wrong behavior, and, you know, I call it guilt trips. I don't know what you call it, but
there are a few things that aren't accepted, like I don't think divorce is, right?
And
taking bankruptcy isn't, is it?
Well, I don't know about that.
I don't think it is. It seems to me, I remember hearing somebody say that one time, that they really frown on that.
They don't believe in a person buying with a living space. And my older brother, they take your name off the paper, off the roll, you know, off the church roll. But they don't expel you from the church. My older brother, he never slowed down. He for the living space. And his first wife, they told him. But anyway, he never slowed down at all. He just kept it on going, and he could leave a beautiful prayer, and they told him to pray about it. And he never showed any difference. He can take my name off the roll, but
See, the service there is real different from anywhere else. I've been, you know, I was an Episcopalian for years, and I've been to all kinds of different churches, but this is just really different. And inside the building, there's nothing. There aren't pictures and statues and those kinds of things, and such, just the seats.
Well, they get one picture and they approve it.
They get one, they do?
One picture, and a cross up in the front.
But there, you know, there's not a lot of stuff around, you know. And the buildings inside and outside are very just plain structures. And some of them are brick, but they're just straightforward buildings. And like Daddy said, when they start the thing, rather than having, you know, the two flags coming up the aisle and singing along with Christian soldiers and everything, there's a group of people up here in the front that really usually lead the singing and like to sing more. So they just kind of start singing. And then as the talking and the visiting dies down and the singing builds up. And that's the beginning of it.
Is every congregation sufficient unto itself, or is there an overall administrative?
No, every congregation to itself.
And it's actually run, it's run, each church is run by the congregation?
Yeah.
You elect the elders and?
Yeah.
I mean, there's no umbrella administration to tell you what to do.
That's why they call them independent, yeah. Everyone is independent, but they all have the same, they all have one common feeling toward the church and toward, so there's no disagreement there. Because they have, and like in any other, that one of the church, I don't guess they didn't have some disagreement. They can, each congregation has a disagreement. And my daddy was a deacon for 47 years, and he didn't have much to say, but when he said it, that was the end of it. He said it down in the foot, and both sides would come to him and say, you tell him the problems of this and the problem of that. And he would listen to both sides, and each side was hoping that he would take their side. And it would go on like this for a year, sometimes almost 2 years. They would hassle back and forth, and it wouldn't resolve. And I remember we called him Paul. I remember Paul, I'm gonna get up and say something today. he gonna close this thing down today. And he wouldn't say it. So when the time comes for to resolve it, to see if it wasn't gonna be settled, he got up and said what he had to say, and gave up on it. At the end of that, then they start another.
How many congregations do you figure there are in existence now in the United States?
That would be something interesting to find out.
Does Primitive Baptist don't do any missionary work? Where I live, there's a Primitive Baptist church, and it's set off way back in the woods. And I've watched it on Sunday morning, sort of curious, wanting to go up there. Is it okay just to go to church with everybody?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
He said, is it okay just to go into one of the churches?
Yeah. Anybody go in there, yeah. No problem. Yeah, they welcome people. They like glad for people. And my experience has been with the Primitive Baptist that every time I go in, I feel welcome, wanted, at home. Everybody's friendly, they can say whatever I want to say. Now, that might just be because I was raised in Primitive Baptist. I mean, I can't say what I want to say, I feel at home.
Don't the Primitive Baptists follow the teachings of John Calvin like the rest of them? It's just their interpretation.
Not being that familiar with, real familiar with what John Calvin said, I really can't say.
I know the rest of the Baptists do. I think changes are just their different interpretations.
Well, most, like Daddy said, when the other churches broke off from the Primitive Baptist, as they wanted to go into evangelical work, as they wanted to start doing this or that, there was a big, it's all detailed in that big work that they did at the University of North Carolina, the history of that breakdown of how that happened. But I thought one of the interesting things about the music is that the music in the Primitive Baptist Church was never structured into four parts. You know, they never it never was set up that way. And it is thought that this music came over from England and Scotland and Ireland in their folk music, not in their structured church music. You know, because there was parts, I think, where Lou, in the, when this country was being settled, weren't the churches in England and everything, weren't they, all, they were already singing in parts, weren't they?
Well, the Catholic Church and the Reformed Church, the Church of England, what became the Episcopal Church, they sang in parts because that was very, was the new musical thing, composed by Thales and even William Byrd, who were the Queen's choir masters, Queen Elizabeth and then James I. They wrote in parts, and these things were sung in parts. This was currently, I do not know what it was like for the non-conformist or separatist churches. But it must be, you've got to remember that the Church of England, which was set up by Henry VIII, Queen Elizabeth's father, was really simply an extension of the Catholic Church, of what happened there. While there were movements within it to sort of take on the teachings of the Protestant movement within the church, led by, I can't remember the names of all the particular people within the church itself, who wanted to pare it all down to the teachings of people like Calvin in Switzerland and Luther in Germany. What you had was really for the mass of people, and most of the preachers in the church and all the rest of it wasn't really a desire for reform. For most of them, nothing changed. All that changed was that the bishop said a different thing, the king said he was the pope, you know. they didn't care.
Yeah.
They just went on with the same. And it was really under Elizabeth that you had a change where the mass was done away with. Mm-hmm. And you had the Book of Common Prayer coming in, you had that change then. Mm-hmm. And whether the music changed in the Book of Common Prayer, I don't know, but it happens in Irish papers.
Yeah. the Church of Scotland did not sing harmony. You know, the what's known as Presbyterians, Congregationalists now. I grew up in a church in northern Appalachian section of Ohio. We were called Associates Succedus, that is part of the Church of Scotland and or through the Puritan tradition. And we were not allowed to sing harmony growing up, and we only sang it. Sang the Psalter, only the Psalms out of the church. And the only reason that church existed out of the Church of Scotland, it was anti-union. The old union, the Masons, the anti-private unionists of Scotland.
But part singing is not part of the Scottish musical tradition, not in the folk tradition. This is as an island. It's not a harmony, it's something that's really new. That's an Irish music now that you hear in the bands. When I grew up, all the Cayley bands and all the singing from Ireland was all unison. All unison play.
Which is the tradition.
That's this tradition.
Which is Calvinist, which is...
The word separatist was used a lot then. I think the first immigrants come over here, they used the term separatist. Mm-hmm. And so it seems to me that what I gather here, the Pentecostals were pretty much separatist, to much to their credit, as I sit here, I judge and admire.
One of the things that I did want to emphasize to you, and you'll see it anyway in their personalities, but the church that Rita yesterday and the day before is associated with, as it stands today even, what she does and the church that Daddy is a member of is different in many, many ways. And even on a surface level, in the way they conduct the services, and in their response to their music. You know, as Rita said, she didn't realize until she saw herself on that video when she moved around when she and you know, that kind of thing. I grew up seeing people cry when they sing, so that does not bother me. I probably will. During the week, you'll see that many times, particularly as I get more tired. Tears come quicker. And so, you know, please don't feel at all embarrassed by that if I start to cry or if Daddy starts to cry. But because that's just, it does not mean sadness. It's just part of the feeling, or the intensity of the feeling. And that is something that you do see in the Primitive Baptist Church. Daddy said he used to wonder how they could sing like that. It's such full, strong voices and just keep singing with the tears dripping off. And he's learned now pretty much how to do that. Kay and I said we're going to teach a class in traditional weeping here or something.
I'm wondering with your Primitive Baptist music, do you have special songs and holidays like Christmas and Easter or weddings or funerals and things like that?
No. At funeral, people usually have the family request of a song. They don't have any special songs.
Do they celebrate, have a Christmas service or?
No.
Can I mention about that?
They have an Easter kind of a special dressing up occasion for Easter, you know. I remember my sister used to have a new dress for Easter. Had to have a new dress for that baby. But they didn't put it on special Easter, so no special for the year.
They do have a foot washing ceremony, though.
Yeah, they have a foot washing ceremony once a year.
And would you have certain songs at that time?
Yeah, I'll bring one here, and I'll send you one tomorrow. That's a foot washing song.
So even though you didn't have Christmas, and do you have Santa Claus for the kids?
Oh,
what
yeah.
did you do for that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Jimmy, can you tell me once, one of these churches were in places where people were isolated enough that local travel was difficult enough that the church really could not meet throughout the winter?
Oh yeah, sometimes they don't. Sometimes they don't meet if it's so isolated. But they do that all throughout West Virginia. And then, you know, Catholic churches or whatever, if they're real isolated here. But that
the church didn't, as I recall, for lack of a better word, meddle into the family. They didn't set down strict, strong rule. We cuss and drink it like anybody else. we looked on a little different by our father being a demon. We just do things like that. While these other guys were spinning around in cars and things, we did that too.
It didn't stop any of them.
And nobody come, you know, the church didn't come to check on anything. But of course, I was reading in the records of the old church there where they had a hearing about a man being drunk in church. And they forgave him one time. It was back in the 1800s or something. One of my brothers was the secretary there to keep down the records of that. And I was reading all that sort of stuff. And they forgave him the second time, but either the second or third time, I think they put him back for good. They didn't go through and follow him around all the time to see if he got drunk in the way, or just being drunk in church.
It's a little too far.
Is the little book of lyrics still in print?
Okay, I'll tell you what you can order today. This is an awful. You can order these, though, for about $3. These little, and they, you know. It's not in the same order, but it has a whole lot of the same ones. And this is Gogol. I lost my little fly page. It's Gogol Press. I can get the name of this for you, but it does have the words in here. The words sometimes are just so outstanding that it just makes all other you know, the other hymns just float away. They don't even compare to the words in some of these things. Where's that one? I was going to sing you one here that I just learned from my cousins not long ago.
This particular book here was written by Benjamin Lowen, and he's dated here 1858. Telling this more than this was more than likely his second printing. Way the letter reads, it's a long letter. Then. And then after he passed on, his two children bought all the copyright and stereotype plates and all of that, and continued to print the book, and that dated February 1921 from La Mesa, California. And so that's why this little book, this is an old book. I don't know how far it dates back. But the earliest thing I, the farthest thing I have here is 1858.
Let me sing them this one here that that Dale and Roy taught me last time. Okay.
Okay.
And maybe we do better if we sing separate ones. We'll find one if you can hit the same key. It's over. Singing it this hour of the morning. Tis a point I long to know. Oft it causes anxious thought. Do I love thee, Lord, or no? Am I his, or am I not? If I love, why am I thus? Why this dull and lifeless frame? Hardly sure can there be worse, who have never heard his name. When I turn my eyes within, all is dark and vain and wild, filled with unbelief and sin. Can I deem myself his child? If I pray or hear or read, pain is mixed in all I do. You that love the Lord indeed, really beautiful hymns. Yes, you all have your books. Mm-hmm. We'll get you started singing one today, and then we'll do it some more tomorrow.
Oh, you put a prep to bed this cycle, man.
What song?
Then everybody's a, what one was love.
No, that's
he said because everybody's gonna be a prep to bed this cycle. So you can take a breath anywhere you want to. You don't have to breathe right. Sing as loud as you want to. And this is another tune than what you're used to hearing, What Wondrous Love. This is a different tune.
What wondrous love is this, oh my soul, oh my soul. What wondrous love is this, oh my soul.